Chapter 8. The walls of the corridor leading into the tomb were covered with dozens of strange paintings depicting enslaved humans, orcs, elves, and other creatures. Each fresco appeared in the exact location described in the original D&D module. I knew that hidden in the tiled stone surface of the floor were several spring-loaded trap doors. If you stepped on one, it snapped open and dropped you into a pit filled with poisoned iron spikes. But because the location of each hidden trap door was clearly marked on my map, I was able to avoid all of them. So far, everything had followed the original module to the letter. If the same was true for the rest of the tomb, I might be able to survive long enough to locate the copper key. There were only a few monsters lurking in this dungeon. A gargoyle, a skeleton, a zombie, some asps, a mummy, and the evil demi-lich Acererak himself. Since the map told me where each of them was hiding, I should be able to avoid fighting them. Unless, of course, one of them was guarding the copper key. And I could already guess who probably had that honor. I tried to proceed carefully, as if I had no idea what to expect. Avoiding the sphere of annihilation located at the end of the corridor, I located a hidden door beside the last pit trap. It opened into a small, sloping passageway. My flashlight reached into the darkness ahead, flickering off the damp stone walls. My surroundings made me feel like I was in a low-budget sword and sorcery flick, like Hawk the Slayer or the Beastmaster. I began to make my way through the dungeon, room by room. Even though I knew where all of the traps were located, I still had to proceed carefully to avoid them all. In a dark, forbidding chamber known as the Chapel of Evil, I found thousands of gold and silver coins hidden in the pews, right where they were supposed to be. It was more money than my avatar could carry, even with the bag of holding that I found. I gathered up as many of the gold coins as I could, and they appeared in my inventory. The currency was automatically converted, and my credit counter jumped to over 20,000, by far the largest amount of money I'd ever had. And in addition to the credits, my avatar received an equal number of experience points for obtaining the coins. As I continued deeper into the tomb, I obtained several magic items along the way. A +1 flaming sword, a gem of seeing, a +1 ring of protection. I even found a suit of +3 full plate armor. These were the first magic items my avatar had ever possessed, and they made me feel unstoppable. When I put on the suit of magical armor, it shrank to fit my avatar perfectly. Its gleaming chrome appearance reminded me of the badass armor worn by the knights in Excalibur. I actually switched to a third-person view for a few seconds just to admire how cool my avatar looked wearing it. The farther I went, the more confident I became. The tomb's layout and contents continued to match the module description exactly, down to the last detail. That is, until I reached the pillared throne room. It was a large, square chamber with a high ceiling filled with dozens of massive stone columns. A huge, raised dais stood at the far end of the room, atop which rested an obsidian throne inlaid with silver and ivory skulls. All this matched the module description exactly, with one huge difference.